Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Summit with Adam Tuggle. This is your host, Minister Adam Tuggle, and I welcome each and every person to the show on this lovely, beautiful Saturday afternoon. We are live in the studio today. We have a very, very powerful show for you all today. This show and this episode of this show is getting ready to be powerful, y'all. And I'm gonna tell you something before we get started. Today, I'm coming from. Not my own. And when I mean me coming from not my own, I mean by not my own intellect, not my own understanding, but underneath the Lord and the Holy Ghost's understanding. Because today, I like to be transparent on the show. I don't sugarcoat anything. Today, I'm hurting. But I'm good. And this pain, and it's not a physical pain, y'all. I'm just going to let y'all know that now. It's not a physical pain. But I pray for my family. We suffered, my natural family suffered a loss in our family. My cousin, on my father's side, passed on this week. So pray for us on this week as we continue on as a family and as whatever whatever he was in this family, whoever our cousin, my cousin was to you. Death comes for two reasons, and this is what the Lord gave to me. Number one, death comes to us because to help remember, to keep the memory of the one that we lost alive, to remember them. That's number one. And number two, death comes for, and this is the most important reason why death comes, and we are left behind to suffer through the pain of losing that loved one. When that loved one is gone on, we are the ones that are alive and remain are left here to suffer the pain of it. But it's also here, it also comes on the earth because we are to take inventory of our own lives. This is what the Lord gave to me. When we're sitting at a funeral and you're at the funeral of a friend or a loved one, it is not just to remember them, it is to take inventory of ourselves. And what I mean by inventory, I'm not taking inventory of the things that I have in my home. It's not the inventory of how many cars I have, how many insurance policies I have, how much money I have in the bank. But it's to take inventory of our spiritual life. Are we ready to meet the Lord? Because we do not know when our time is coming. We don't know when the Lord is going to call us. We don't know when we can. There are, I say it a lot on the podcast, there are big graves and there's little graves. We don't know when the Lord is going to call on that. But the only thing we do know is that one day, we're going to meet him, and we'll either meet him as the bride of Christ, or we'll meet him at the white throne of judgment. It's our choice. But today, the topic today is contracted to the promise. Contracted to the promise. In life, we see that promise, promises, we want them to keep them. We all have a purpose of why we're here. When we're born, God gave us life for a purpose. In Romans 8 and 28, and this is one of the scriptures that we're going to read today, and everybody that has read the Word of God and has studied the Word of God, we know that we all know this verse. We should know it from the top of our head, like we know it like the back of our hand, but I'll go ahead and read it to you. And we know that all things work, together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according his purpose. We are contracted to the purpose. Not our purpose, not our will, but to God's will, to God's purpose. And in this verse, it says, all things work together for the good of them that love God. Now, if you love God, you're going to do what God asks for you to do and me to do. When you sign, in the natural, when you sign a contract, whatever that contract states, it states whether you're going to do this or whether you're going to do that. In that contract, you follow the guidelines of that contract. Amen. The parties, the two parties, when they write up the contract and you sign your name to that contract and that other party signs their name to that contract, that means that it is an agreement between two parties. Well, in the spiritual, once you become saved, you have contracted yourself to his promise. We've all, when we say that we love God and we say that we have a relationship with him, we have now signed our name to a spiritual contract to what he wants us to do. But some of us have been playing church. Some of us say we love God but still want to do the things of the world. We say, well, I love God, but I still want a little piece of this over here of the world. You can't do that. That's not part of the contract. We've been contracted to a bigger purpose. Look, when you have the glory of God in your life, when you have the purpose of God in your life, that is a treasure to hold better than anything you could ever have. The Holy Ghost is here to help you fulfill that purpose. See, some people think that their purpose in life, see, I was listening to a message on yesterday, and in that message, the preacher was talking about purpose. And he said, the purpose for our lives is not just to live life and to, you know, one day get married and have children and live until we're, have a job and live until we're retired and senior citizen and then we leave off the scene. That's not our purpose. Our main purpose is to fulfill the work that God has called for us to do. But we have so many people mamby-pambying with the Word of God, with the gospel. See, in the gospel, in this purpose, there is the gospel. In the gospel, we have our own identity. We do not have the identity of the world, but we have the identity of Christ. When you take on this, when you've been contracted to a purpose, when you've been contracted to God's purpose, you take on the identity of Christ. The identity is holiness. The identity is salvation. The identity is nothing but loving those that despitefully use you, those that loving your enemies, loving not loving the things of the world, because any person that loves the things in the ways of the world does not love God. You're an enemy to Christ. You become an enemy to him. When you put away, The Bible says, and I'm going to use this verse, the Bible says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I acted as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The Bible also says, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. See, when you are dead to sin, when you're truly dead to sin and you made up in your mind, it's a mindset thing. When you are truly dead to sin, your mind transforms. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, verse number 2 says, and I like verse number 2 because this is talking about the mindset. This is talking about when you've been contracted to the purpose, this is what you'll do. This is what your mind will do. Once you've been truly contracted to the purpose of Christ, not your purpose, not your will, not to the will of man, not to the person that says, well, it don't take all that. But you've been contracted to the purpose of Christ. This is what will happen. Verse number 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that perfect and acceptable, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Your mind will be transformed. That's when you can say, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. He said he'll keep your mind in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him. When you got your mind will be renewed. That's why I can say when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I praise God for saving me. That's the reason, because I've been contracted to his purpose. His purpose for me is to live out holiness in front of others, not just to, come on, it's not here. This word, this glory, his purpose is not here on this earth just to be here. This purpose is here for us to do the work that God has called for us to do. There is a sin nature out in this world that we must fight against. There is sin running rampant all through the world, and we got souls out there dying daily. They're leaving this world. They're leaving this world at irate numbers. They're leaving this world at outrageous numbers, and it ain't just from the coronavirus neither. It ain't just from the coronavirus. Let me be transparent with y'all. We got murder rates. We got the coronavirus. We got different diseases that are taking people out of here. People are dying in their sins because they have not been delivered. They have not been delivered. They have yet to be delivered. On my podcast, and I think I did it here on the live broadcast too. I did a show on Don't Leave Here Like You Came. We got a lot of people coming into this world in sin and leaving this world in sin. And then preachers, when they go to their funerals and preach in their eulogies, they try to preach them into heaven. The devil is a liar. Well, I know that they're going to heaven because they have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and all this stuff. Look, the Bible says sin will not be in heaven at all if they live their life in sin, if they have not been born again of the water and the spirit, if they have not been taught, if they have not lived a holy life, don't you cannot preach them into heaven. That ain't going to get it. They have to live a holy. We must live holy, because holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. You have to be holy. You've got to be holy. Man, woman, boy, and girl. It goes for everybody. That goes for everybody. Holiness. Holiness while you're in the grocery store. Holiness while you're sitting at home with your wife or your husband. Holiness while you're dealing with your children. Holiness. It must be holy. You got to be holy. You got to be. Holiness while you're at church. Mother, sister, brother, deacon. Holiness. Why do you say holiness at church? Well, we got some churches where deacons are sleeping with other people's wives. And the pastor saying it's okay because the pastor doing it himself. Oh, that ain't holiness. See, holiness will have you, will have your mind so in a mindset for Christ that everything about you will change. Your mindset will change. From your inner man to your outer man will change. You won't look like the world. Does that mean I won't ever sin anymore? Yeah, we fall short sometimes. That's why repentance is there. But let me tell you, you don't have to willfully sin. You can tell the devil no. That's where holiness comes in. That's where the Holy Ghost comes in. The Holy Ghost is there to help you. And if, look, let me show y'all something. I didn't mean to go here. I did not mean to go here. A lot of preachers have been contracted. They've been contracted to God's purpose, but they done fell by the wayside. And they done reneged on a contract that they made with God. They reneged on a contract. And now they're doing their own thing. They're moving in their own flesh. They're moving on their own way in their own thought process. And I see it's happening everywhere. Preachers are doing, and I'm not just on preachers, because there are some people that are out there in the world, you know full well that the Lord has been talking to you. Come on home. It's time. Come into the ark. Noah preached and preached. And the people did not want to listen to him. People have been preaching, and the word of God's been going forth, and you know full well that the Lord has been talking to you. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but you know the voice. You knew. Some of y'all have been raised in it. Some of y'all been raised in the church, and y'all still are still sitting in the same spot in the back of the church. Still sitting there. Lord been telling you to come. The Lord's been telling you to come since 1987, and you still ain't came yet. Some of y'all, since 1995, Lord's still been telling y'all to come, and you still ain't came yet. What's wrong? Old Zion, what's the matter now? It did not, look, and some of us that have been raised in the church, see, I'm one of them. I'm one of those people that have been raised in the church. Sat on the front row, sang in the choir, done all this, done all that. Done been usher, done been everything. But that does not mean nothing if you ain't living holy. I done preached, and look, let me tell y'all something. Some of this stuff, look, just because, and I'm going to say it, just because you mention Jesus does not make you saved. Just because you put, and I heard somebody say, because there's some artists out there that are not gospel artists that try to put Jesus in their music and call it gospel. Or the gospel artists, and I'm gonna hit, I know I'm gonna hit somebody today. They collaborating with secular artists. Why? To make your ratings go up? You know full well that you should not be collaborating with the world, but yet you collaborate. Well, the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise you. Yes, but light and darkness have no fellowship. We are we as the church are taking down from the standard. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22 verse 28, remove not the ancient landmark. Remove not the old ancient landmark. Whatever you've been taught in the past, keep hold to that. And I'm going to say it like my former pastor said it. Before she went off the scene, she told the whole entire church. And it wasn't, in the way she said it, she wasn't taking credit for it. But she said this. She said, hold on to what I'm teaching you, because you're going to need it. Now, was she taking credit for God's word? No. When she said, hold on to what I'm teaching you, you're going to need it. She was saying, hold on to God's word, because you're going to need it one day. I may not be here, but you're going to need this. Hold on to what you have been taught. Do not come down from the, do not come down from holiness. Do not come off the wall. Do not stop praying. Do not stop fasting. Do not stop giving. Do not stop living holy. Do not stop, because we've been contracted to his purpose. That's a part of God's purpose for our lives, to live holy and righteous. Every place we go, we must be. We got to be. That's the only way to make it to heaven. That's the only way. We got to repent. You might say, well, minister, well, I got this going on and I got that going on, and so does everybody else. Well, you don't know how those people talk to me. Well, they talk to me too. They talk crazy to me too. Well, I want somebody to like me. You know, I want to be popular. You know what? Let God validate you. Don't you let no man validate you. I'm still young. I'm still young too. I'm still young. I got to live my life. This is my life, and I'm going to live it the way I want to. Well, you go ahead and live it the way you want to. You go ahead, live your life, because in his purpose, he has not forced you to sign that contract with him. But just like scientists say, with every action, there's a reaction. With every action that you make, there's going to be a reaction, even in the spiritual. In the book of Jude, and there's only one chapter in the book of Jude, verse 3, I'm going to read that real quick. I'm going to read this to you real quick, and then going to look at this really, really quickly. And Jude verse number 3, it says, beloved, I want y'all to understand this because I want y'all to really understand this. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Contend to the faith. That means hold on to what the Lord has given you. If you got the Holy Ghost, hold on to it. It's more precious than any money. It's more precious than any gold. Bible says, silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, I give unto thee. Silver and gold have I none. I don't have a mansion on a hill, but I got Jesus. I don't have millions upon millions upon millions of dollars, but I got Jesus. I don't have the nice, the 3 and 4 and 5 cars, but I got Jesus. I don't have all of the expensive, fine designer clothes, because all of that's going to fade away one day. All of what I just said, the mansions, all of that, the money, all of that's going to go away. But as long as I got Jesus, I got everything I need. As long as I got him, as long as I've been contracted to his purpose, we already read it. We already read it. And we know that all things work together for the good. For the good. Everything's going to come full circle if you just do, if we just contract ourselves to his purpose. If we stay in commune with him, if we stay in line with him, everything's going to work out. Everything's going to be all right. The songwriter says, I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. I dare you. I dare you. If you have not made a commitment to God, I dare you. Now, I'm going to tell you this, because I'm going to be very transparent right now. Don't you make a vow to God and then break it. Because there's a lot of people that do that. Well, God, let me give you an example. Well, God, well, if you get me out of this, I'll do this. And knowing full well, you ain't going to do it. Why? Why even make that? You lied. You a lie, and the truth ain't in you when you do that. Well, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll start going to church. I'll start doing this. I'll start doing that. Well, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll start doing this. I'll start. You need to understand when you break a vow to the Lord, you're lying. That's not being contracted to his purpose. Because the true purpose of God, the true purpose of God is not for us to live life on this earth the way we want to, but it's to live life the way God would have us to. And God will have everything together for us. Everything will come together for us as long as we're in his purpose. Everything will be right. Everything will be together. We just read it in Romans 8:28. You'll be able to live out Romans 8:28 then. I hear a lot of preachers preaching this thing. But we can't live the way we want to. We can't do this thing the way we want to. Your wife don't belong to you. Don't you know that? Look, let me show y'all something. Let me show y'all something. Your wife don't belong to you. My life don't belong to me. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. This morning, when you woke up, wherever you woke up at, you did not tell yourself to wake up. You might say, well, the alarm clock woke me up. You know, I heard. But who gave you the ability to hear that alarm clock? You could have went deaf in the middle of the night. There's a lot of things happening to people. Just strange. Strange. I had a family member, perfectly healthy, just die out of nowhere, unexpectedly. And this is not my family member that, and even with my family member now, perfectly healthy. And had a heart attack. And you know what? And never had a problem with their heart in their life. Never. Since I've been around them, I ain't never known them to have a problem with their heart, ever. My relative was in the military, everything. Now, I don't know who allows somebody in the military with heart problems. I ain't never seen it. But this person was perfectly healthy and had a heart attack and died out of nowhere. But let me tell you something. Your life don't belong to you for this reason. Because it is in the purpose of God for you to live life the way he would have you to live, to draw souls unto him. You are here for his glory. You are here to be used by him so that men might glorify God in heaven. That is the reason why you're here. That is the reason why I'm here. That is the reason, and I'm going to go further than that. That's the reason why Bishop Cook is here. That is the reason why Lester Carver is here. That's the reason why we're here. When you hear us on the radio, we're not here for our own intellect. I'm here because God put me here. I'm here because I've been contracted to his purpose. I've been contracted to the purpose of Christ, not to my own purpose. Because my purpose in life can get me all the way messed up. My purpose in my life can have me all messed up. The purpose in your life, see, and what I mean by the purpose of our own lives can get us messed up because we can make the wrong decision, thinking that we're making the right decision. We ain't prayed about it. We ain't done nothing to no avail. We just go out and just do. But if we ask God, is that in your purpose, God, for my life? Don't you know our life don't belong to us because you didn't name yourself. You didn't choose what family you were going to be into. You didn't choose what color you are. This is why I can go there towards racism, too. How are you going to be mad at somebody at the color of their skin? They didn't choose that. They didn't choose that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, y'all. But how are you going to be mad at somebody by the color of their skin? I just don't understand it. And I ain't just talking about Caucasians either. I'm talking about anybody. I'm talking to who I'm talking to. If you racist, if you have a form of racism in you, get it out of you. Fix it. You should not be hating somebody because of the way they are. Well, I hear you. Well, what about the people that are homosexual and lesbian or transgender and all that? Well, let me tell you something. You shouldn't hate them either. You shouldn't hate them. Some people say Some of them say, well, I was born this way. Well, guess what? I got a remedy for that one. If you been, let's just say, I know you weren't, because God don't make no mistakes. But let's just say you was born that way. Now, you was born and shaping in iniquity. You were born and shaping in sin, and sin, and that is a sin. Man with man and woman with woman. Yes, we know. And you trying to be a gender that God didn't create you to be. That goes against God's purpose. When you've been contracted to God's purpose, then you will follow the guidelines of what God has in your contract, in your spiritual contract. If God created you to be a woman, be a woman. If God created you to be a man, be the man. Be the man or the woman that God has called for you to be. Don't try to be nobody else. But when you look at your life, and I'm going to go here. I'm going to go here because I didn't finish that statement. The remedy is that if you calling yourself saying, well, I was born this way. Now, I'm going to tell you like Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. And that goes for, that don't just go for homosexuality either. That goes for every sin. That goes for the murderer. That goes for the liar. That goes for the prostitution. All of that. All of it. All of it. The cheating. You cheating? You need to be born again. You need to be born again. That's all there is to it. You got to be born again of the water and the spirit. The fact is that when we are contracted to the purpose, everything about you will fall into place. When you start following the guidelines of that spiritual contract that is between you and the Lord, everything in your life will fall into place. Well, minister, how do you know? I know because I've lived it. I know because I've lived it. But we got, look, this, I'm going to go here. I got some time to go here. Let me go here real quick. We got preachers that are not, that have been contracted, that have fallen out of their contract with God. We've got some that have fallen out of contract with God's purpose. They doing it their way instead of God's way. Let me tell you what the Bible says, preacher, pastor, evangelist, minister, elder, deacon, whatever you call yourself. And this goes for man, woman, boy, and girl. If you a preacher of the gospel, let me tell you something. If you changing God's word to fit your own flesh, woe unto you. That's what the Bible says. Woe unto you. If you taking the gospel, which is holy, see, everybody cannot preach the gospel. Everybody's not meant to preach. And I'm not just talking about preaching from a pulpit, because we got punks in the pulpit. I'm gonna do that show again. I did that show a long, long time ago. I'm gonna do that again. Punks in the pulpit. What do you mean punks in the pulpit? Why are you calling them punks? Because they don't want to. They going against the word of God. That's why I'm calling them that. They too scared to talk about. Are they too scared to really dive deep into the word of God because they afraid of losing money, losing members, or they got a big giant church and they afraid They want the fame. They afraid of losing their popularity. The devil is a liar. It ain't about popularity. They are afraid. They want to be the next bishop. They want to be the next bishop, T.D. Jakes. They want to be the next Joel Osteen. I ain't trying to be like nobody. I'm sorry. All respect to those preachers. But I ain't trying to be like nobody. I ain't trying to be like T.D. Jakes, because T.D. Jakes ain't God. I ain't trying to be like Joel Osteen, because Joel Osteen ain't got no heaven, no hell to put me in. I ain't trying to be like nobody but what God has called for me to be. If I'm just little Minister Adam Tuggle on the Spirit Alive Network, then that's fine with me. If only one soul listens to me every week, I'm cool with that. Why? Because I fulfill the purpose that God has called for me to do. Heaven rejoices over one soul. I don't need a crowd. I don't need to have, what back in the day they used to say, I don't need to have a briefcase and a Bible in my hand to preach. I don't need to have a tablet or an iPad or an iPhone to be able to preach. Look, I can just tell you what thus saith the Lord. As long I can go out and witness to somebody. Because I done said this in a sermon one time. Preaching from the pulpit is not my job. That's my pastor's job. See? That's my pastor's job. My pulpit is the streets. You didn't know that. Some people don't know that. These people that want to be evangelists, speaking all over everywhere, you want to speak over here and speak over there, and you calling people to ask the people to preach at your asking people, can I preach at your church? The devil is a liar. Why are you calling people or asking people to preach at their church? Because you're trying to either gain money or gain popularity, either one or both. And God ain't getting no glory out of it. You just sounding brass and tinkling cymbals when you do that. I'm going to let you know. If you one that's doing that, if you one that's itching to preach, the devil, you just itching. And most of the time, the ones that are itching to preach ain't got much to say, no way. They ain't doing nothing. They just sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. They just love the words that come out their mouth. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go there. But we must understand that when we have been contracted to the purpose, everything will fall in line. Everything about you will fall in line. Everything about your children will fall in line. Everything about your finances will fall in line. Don't you know that if you, look, you can be so good financially, so good earthly, but if your spirit is messed up, I'm going to give this example. It would be better for me to be, my spirit be right with God, and I'm Holy Ghost filled, been water baptized in Jesus' name, and live holy and not have nothing, than for me to have everything that my heart desires and my soul be lost. It would be better for me to not have nothing. Not have nothing and my soul be ready for the kingdom than for me to have everything and my soul be lost. Because look, a lot of people that are living this life and that have gone on to be with the Lord or have opened the door, made their bed in hell. Some of us, it is better for you, I'm going to say it like this, it's better for you to live twice and die once than to die twice and live once. What you mean, preacher? What I mean by that is, some of y'all understood it and some of y'all don't. For the ones that didn't understand, I'm going to tell you. For the ones that do, I'm just verifying with you. It's better for me to live twice and die once than for me to die twice and live once. You live on this earth. You die. And then your eternal home, where are you going to spend eternity? That's what I mean. It's better for me to live twice and die once. What I mean by that is for you to live on this earth, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized and blessed, and see the grave, and then live in eternity in heaven. Then for you to live once on this earth, see the natural death, and then see the spiritual death because you opened up your eyes in hell. That is an eternal death. That is a destructional death. Don't you know? Let me give you an example of what hell will be like, just to clarify. So that you won't have any wrong in your mind about what hell is going to be like. Some people think there's going to be a party in hell. Let me tell you, there ain't going to be no party. Let me give you an example of what hell is going to be like. Hell is going to be like this. You or I, if we choose to live our lives the way we want to and not the way God wants to, we will lift up our eyes in hell, and it will be like this. Every day, and this is eternity, we're not talking about in time, because in earth we live in time. In eternity, eternity has no time. So let me get that straight before I do this. When you talk about eternity, for eternity, you will be burning and never be burnt up. Well, the fire is not quenched. You will be eaten, but never be eaten up. Say eaten. Well, the maggots and worms will eat at your flesh. With a stench, a burning flesh. Just picture that in your mind. I do not like to get burned. I don't. I don't like to get burned at all, period. To give you, I'm going to give you two examples. One day, my grandmother, and this is before I was born, I was told this story by my father. My grandmother was saved a month before my father was. And my grandmother led my father to Christ. When my grandmother got saved, she lived holy and everything. But one day she said, you know what? She was telling my father, I think I want to walk away from the Lord. And my father told her, okay, Mama, I want you to do something. I want you to go in the kitchen. And this is what I want y'all to think about when y'all feel like walking away from God. This is what I want y'all to think about. And this is what I want you to do. I'm going to tell you the same thing my father told my grandmother. I want you to go in the kitchen, go to your nearest stove or oven, turn on the burner, and put your hand on the burner. You might say, well, no, I don't want to do that. That'll burn, right? That's what you're asking for if you walk away from the Lord. You're asking to burn. That's what you're asking for. But not only that, you're asking for the maggots and the worms to eat at your flesh day in and day out. Not only that, you're asking to be burned. You're asking to be tormented. Not only that, but every bit of word that you ever heard in your life will be played back in your mind every day and every night for the rest of eternity. And eternity never ends. That's what hell is going to be like. That's why they call it hell. Because it's not supposed to be, feel good. It's not real nice. It's going to be torment. That's what it is. That's what hell is. But you might say, well, what's heaven going to be like? Well, let me give you an example. Hallelujah. Now we get into the good stuff. Heaven is going to be like this. You walk down, you step outside your door, you see the streets. Your streets might have potholes in it. Your streets might have where the streets ain't been done good enough. In heaven, you're going to walk the streets of gold. Streets are made of pure gold. Uh-huh. The streets will be of pure gold. And you might say, well, if the streets are pure gold, you know, you're going to be able to praise God and never get tired. You're going to, as my pastor preached a message one time, as my former pastor preached a message one time, she preached the land of no more, the land of no more pain, no more heartache, no more diseases, no more bills, no more worrying about where your next meal's going to come from, no more, no, the land of no more. Mm-hmm. That's what heaven's going to be like, with the praises of God. This is why I say the people that say, well, I don't need to go to church to have a relationship with God. Oh, yes, you do. This is a preparation period. Why I say it's a preparation period. It's prepping you for heaven. Because if you can't stand being in church, I'm about to hit somebody today. If you can't stand being in church for an hour or two, what makes you think you're going to stand heaven? Well, I can't stand jumping up and down and all of that, and I can't stand. Heaven's going to be the same way. Heaven's going to be loud, y'all. Have you ever been to a basketball game or a football game and the crowd is loud for their home team? It's going to be louder than that. It's going to be louder than that. We're going to have, and the reason why it's going to be louder than that, and I only got a few more minutes, y'all, but the reason why heaven is going to be louder than any football game or basketball game that you've ever been to or ever seen is because we got a song that the angels cannot sing. We're going to be in a place where there'll be no more heartache, no more nothing except joy and peace. We're going to be with the man who set us free. We're going to be in a land. We're going to be part of something great. But we just got to hold on. We got to stay with the contract. We got to be contracted to the purpose, y'all. We got to remain holy. We got to remain right. Because holiness, as I said before, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. If you ain't walking holy, if you ain't talking holy, if you ain't living holy, you might as well say, if you leave this earth without holiness, don't think that you're going to heaven. I'm just going to be honest. If you leave this world in sin, if you have not repented, if you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, if you have not repented of your sins and been baptized in Jesus' name and been filled with the Holy Ghost and living a holy-filled life, don't expect to go to heaven if you have not done that. As it states in Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is Acts 2 and 38, y'all. This is the only way to make it into heaven. There is no other way. Acts 1 and 8 says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. Power to live right, power to talk right, power to do right, power to tell the enemy, no, I'm not gonna live this way no more. As it states in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, when Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again of the water and the Spirit. You got to be born again, y'all. I pray that this topic has blessed your soul on today. And I'll be with y'all guys next week. But until next week, I pray that the Lord shines blessings upon you all this week. All this next week, and have a very, very blessed weekend. We thank Bishop Cook and the whole Spirit Alive Network family. I thank y'all for praying for me. I thank you. All the listeners that listen in every week to this show, I thank you. I praise God for each and every one of you. In Jesus' name, and until next week, if I don't see you or if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you, in Jesus' name. Until next week, God bless you.